Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Friday. I hope the weekend is starting well, wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. And what a huge weekend it is going to be. Arsenal versus Manchester United at Old Trafford on Sunday. Fulham versus City at Craven Cottage on the Saturday. We've said it a few times in recent weekends, haven't we? But this could be a very, very pivotal weekend in terms of the title race. So we'll talk a little bit about that game a little bit later on in the show. Mikel Arteta is going to be speaking later, 1:30 p.m. at the Showbiz Realty Centre, London Colney, for his pre-match press conference. So we'll get the very latest from him there. Erik ten Hag speaking today as well. But we do know some of the latest injury news for Manchester United. And for the first time in a while for them, they've actually had some good news on the injury front. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. Lots of questions, some comments, reaction from you guys to what we spoke about yesterday, including possibility of Wojciech Szczesny coming back to Arsenal. So we'll go through that as well. But I wanted to start today on the big news yesterday. Obviously, after I recorded the video and after myself and James Bench did Inside Arsenal Extra Time, actually, we did that earlier on in the day, the announcement finally came that Jorginho has signed his new contract. Interestingly, just a year, no option. The expectation was there was definitely going to be an option in that, but it's been decided during the talks that it is just going to be a year and that it can be revisited again with fresh talks at the end of next season, if everyone wants to continue working with each other. So the announcement came yesterday. Immediately, a couple of you guys were getting in touch with me, asking for my views on it. Adam there says, Jorginho stays, a good move for Arsenal, Charles. Personally, I love it. And Smithy says, Georgie signing a new two-year deal was great news. It wasn't a two-year deal. It was just a one-year deal, which was a little bit of a surprise. But certainly good news, I think, for Arsenal. I've said it before. I thought it was just a complete no-brainer to get this one done if possible. I was a little bit worried. Arsenal did have that option to extend Jorginho's stay by another year. That option expired, though, because he didn't play enough minutes by a certain point in the season for that option to become active. So Arsenal had to open fresh contract talks with him about him staying. I did worry, given there was a lot of interest from elsewhere, certainly from Italy, from Saudi Arabia as well, where he was probably going to be offered big money and a multi-year contract. Given his age, that was probably quite an appealing option for him. So I was slightly concerned that he might go elsewhere, but he's decided to stay. And that is absolutely fantastic news. He's proven how good he is this season when he's been called upon. Look, he's not going to play all the time. He's not going to play every minute. He's not going to start every game, but he's just a really important squad member, both behind the scenes and on the pitch. Still, he's shown on the pitch he can still perform at a very, very high level this season. And I don't see that changing over the next 12 months at all. He's still got that technique. He's still so clever. He's still got that speed of thought in the brain that makes up for any sort of lack of pace and mobility he has on the pitch. On the pitch, I have no worries about him. And off the pitch, he's equally as important. You know, he's such a popular member of the squad. This is still a really, really young Arsenal team. You need experienced players. We don't know what's going to happen with Thomas Partey this summer. If he goes, and I'm saying if, you know, it's not a definite. If he goes, though, that's another experienced player who might well be leaving. So you can't just have a group of young players. You need some experienced heads that they can look towards, that they can get advice from. And Jorginho is absolutely one of that. You talk to any of the Arsenal players and they will say nothing but good things about Jorginho in terms of what he does in training, on the pitch, on the touchline when he's a substitute. You watch him, he is Mikel Arteta's eyes and ears on the pitch, just like Martin Odegaard. It's the two of them. Everything goes through those two players in terms of what Arteta wants from his team. And, you know, future manager in the making, I'm absolutely convinced. You know, whether that be Arsenal, who knows, but I'm convinced that Jorginho will be a manager. You just see these type of players and what they bring and how they absorb information. And you watch Jorginho on the touchline, like I said, when he's warming up, and he just looks like a manager in waiting. I'm convinced of it. But that's a long time off yet. He's still got plenty to give as a player. So I'm absolutely delighted that he has signed his new deal. Moving on to what Mikel Arteta and Edu said. I thought Edu's comments were really, really interesting in this. Just little snippets, obviously, just for the press release that got sent out. He said, we're very happy to have Georgie sign a contract extension with us. He represents what we stand for here at Arsenal with his professionalism and success. I know everyone at the club will be very excited that Georgie will continue to be with us. Not only the players and the coaches, but all of the staff behind the scenes as well. It's great that Jorginho remains with us as we continue to be building to be better and stronger. Just that last little bit, the little vow there, as we continue building to be better and stronger. Now, Arsenal, you know, got big plans for the summer. It's going to be an exciting summer. I have absolutely no doubt it's going to be an exciting summer. I don't know if they're going to get everyone that they want to get, but they're certainly going to try it. And I'm expecting some, you know, pretty significant business this summer. And it will be an exciting one to watch, as transfer windows tend to be. And just that little comment from Edu, as we continue building to be better and stronger, that's what everything that Arsenal is about right now, sort of behind the scenes and what they're working towards. Is each season, get better, get stronger. And they've done that in the last couple of years, and they're going to do it again this summer. But having Jorginho still there and as part of it was really, really important to Arsenal. And I liked Eddie's comment. There's a bit of a vow towards the summer, isn't it? Sort of a vow in terms of what they're going to do when the transfer windows opens. And it's all about making this squad as strong as possible. They've done that with all of the contract renewals that they've done, keeping everyone in place pretty much that they want. And then the summer's going to be out, just adding to that as well. It's going to be an exciting one to watch. Mikel Arteta says, we're delighted that Georgie has signed a new contract with us. Georgie is such an important part of our team, a role model with great leadership skills and a unique play and style ability, which makes everybody better around him on the pitch. We're very pleased that Georgie and his family have committed with us, and we're all excited to continue this journey together. And to see both of them there, Edu saying that it's not just the players who are going to be delighted that he's staying, but the coaches and all the staff behind the scenes. And Mikel Arteta saying, you know, he's a great leadership skills. And that's what he's so important. And he brings so much to this squad. That's what I'm talking about with Jorginho. That's why Arsenal was so, so keen to keep him. And I think it's fantastic news that he is staying. In terms of what he said, and he shows here that he's still very, very hungry. He says, I'm really happy to stay because it's a privilege to be part of this family. My family is happy. We are really settled and there's more to come. There was not much to discuss, to be honest. He said when he was asking about, you know, did you have to think about signing a new deal? Because I feel really good here. Just to know that they appreciate me and want me to stay longer as well. It's a big thing for me. I feel that I have more to do. That's the reason why I'm staying. So he's showing there he's got a lot of hunger. You know, he feels like he's got more to do here at Arsenal. He could have swanned off into the sunset and been viewed as a really successful signing for Arsenal. Short-term thing, 18-month, came across from Chelsea. Pretty much everyone was like, oh, what are they doing? Why are they signing Jorginho, signing another Chelsea player? And he had to deal with that early on, and he dealt with it really, really well. And, he could have quite easily just thought, you know, I've done my time here. I've done well, been part of a good team, won the fans over. I'm going to go and sit, you know, take a load of money for the next 3 years somewhere else and play. But he didn't. He's still hungry. He still wants to achieve. He wants to win the Premier League title at Arsenal. And so I think great professional. Delighted that he's staying. But let me know your thoughts, as always, in the comments below. Moving on to Sunday's game then. Some good news for Manchester United for once on the injury front for them. They've had some series of injuries this season, of course. Lisandro Martinez and Marcus Rashford both back training. Not a great sign seeing Marcus Rashford back, because I know he's had a disappointing season, but we all know what happens when Marcus Rashford plays against Arsenal. He scores I think Arsenal, I think he's only scored more goals against one other team than he has about against Arsenal in his career. Lisandro Martinez will be a big boost for them if he plays. And obviously he's been out for a long time. You know, whether Ten Hag throws him straight into the starting 11, we'll have to see. I'm guessing he probably will, just because they don't have any options. And if he can do that, then he can move Casemiro back out of defence and into midfield, which you would think he's probably going to jump at the chance to do, given how Casemiro has performed at centre-back in the last couple of weeks, especially at Crystal Palace at the weekend. So it might be that Martinez can only play 60 minutes or something like that, but I would imagine they're both going to be in the starting 11, or certainly Martinez will be. No sign of Bruno in any of the training images that we saw. Obviously, Bruno missed the game against Crystal Palace through injury. There was no update from Manchester United on Bruno on their website either. But, you know, as we know with Mikel Arteta and Arsenal and how he handles team news, that doesn't mean that Bruno's not going to be involved. So we'll wait and see what Ten Hag says a little bit later on when he delivers the latest team news and his press conference. As I said, Mikel Arteta also speaking at 1:30 p.m. today. No such injury worries or concerns for Mikel Arteta. Everyone's pretty much fit as far as I'm aware, unless something's happened in training that we don't know about. Tomiyasu obviously missed the session or sat out a session earlier on in the week, but the expectation was that he's going to be fine and will be available for the weekend. But we will hear a little bit more from Mikel on that, I'm sure, later on this afternoon.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, before I move on to some of the questions, I've just got to flag this up. And honestly, if you're getting wound up by this, or if you think Arsenal have, if you're reading the clickbaity rubbish about the victory parade that is planned for Arsenal if they win the Premier League trophy, just honestly, give your head a wobble. Seriously, it's ridiculous. Every single time this story comes around, and it happens every time Arsenal in a cup final or anything like that, it just winds me up so much. It's not that Arsenal are getting ahead of themselves and thinking they're going to win the Premier League title. Don't be so stupid if that's what you honestly think. It is the fact that the council have to plan well in advance for any sort of potential parade where you're going to have all of the streets shut throughout North London with potentially hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people turning up. The council need to plan for that. And so they need to notify their residents of a potential parade if, and that's the big word, if Arsenal were to win the Premier League. No one's thinking, you know, oh, this is definitely going to happen, so we're getting ahead of ourselves, we're being cocky, we're planning a parade, like some of the clickbaity rubbish you'll see if you're reading on the internet and see some of the reaction to it. Just think about it, please, before you have a go or anything like that, because I was reading it yesterday on social media and seeing some of the tweets about it and just thinking, what? How are people getting annoyed about this? It's obviously in the new age of social media and everything like that. Rival fans use it as bait to wind up and banter, whatever you want to call it. But it's like, geez, honestly, don't get sucked in. Don't get wound up by it. It just has to be done. Every club has to do it to prepare. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to say about it. Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments. Mr. Cloudy Rainbow says, people aren't very hopeful of Spurs doing us a favour, but there's definitely a few things that could go in our favour, which wouldn't... I don't understand the end of that sentence. Doesn't really make too much sense, but I see what you mean. You're talking about Spurs potentially doing us a favour against Villa, City. You say Liverpool playing Villa. If Villa lose and Spurs beat Burnley, top four is still very much a possibility. Villa also playing a very on-form Palace team away with four wins and a draw in their last five. Spurs of Burnley and Sheffield, which you'd imagine would be wins, meaning the City game could be integral towards getting Champions League football. Also, recent form with Spurs is a bad look for Ange, who I can't imagine will be very willing to roll over to City, considering his own integrity and integrity of sport. City have also never scored at the Lane. They did earlier on this season when they won the FA Cup, so they got that sort of bogey ground tag away from them when they won in the cup earlier on this season. He said, I'm not saying that they will beat City, but I don't think it's clear cut as everyone seems to think. I like your thinking there, Mr. Cloudy Rainbow, but I have to sit on the other side of the fence to you. It is an absolute given that Manchester City will win at Spurs. I'm afraid there is zero chance. I hope I'm wrong. You can clip it all up afterwards if I'm wrong and put it all over the social media. But I just cannot see it, even if the players, and I'm sure the players will be up for it because the players will have professional pride at stake and they won't really care about Arsenal as much as the fans. But there's going to be no intensity in that stadium whatsoever from the fans. It's going to be like playing a friendly because the fans will just not want their team to win. And that is going to just seep through to the players and the level of performance. If you don't have the crowd sort of cheering you on in your own stadium, it's going to be really, really weird. They will celebrate. Their fans will celebrate a Man City goal. I guarantee it. Not all of them, but there will be fans there celebrating Man City scoring against their team. I absolutely bet you cameras zoom in on that when it happens. And that's why I just think there's no way, no matter how up for the players are, I'm sure Ange Postecoglou will be really up for it and be wanting a win. Even if Champions League football's on the line, there's just still, their fans will not want to score or beat or take points off Man City if it means Arsenal win the title. I'm convinced of it. But anyway, I like your positivity. So we shall see who's right on that one. Right, a few here on the reaction to Szczesny we spoke about yesterday, potentially being a target for Arsenal as they look for a second choice goalkeeper come the summer. Sexy Pion, I think that says, Szczesny would be a bad option. As far as I remember, he is bad with the ball at his feet, just not an Arteta type of goalkeeper at all. Concept to reality. Says, yes, still a great keeper and still has mad love for the arse. Get him in. How do you pronounce that? DKU loser. Sorry, I've probably got that totally wrong. You say, hi, Charles. Don't you think that bringing back Fabianski would make more sense? I heard rumours that the ex-Arsenal Polish goalie can join us. And even though Szczesny is a match, Fabianski suits me more. Already living in London with his family, I guess. A year left on his contract. Probably not the first choice, especially with a new coach coming in at West Ham. Acceptable salary expectations, I believe, and many other reasons that make me think he's actually a better option. What do you think? Yes, an interesting one. I hadn't really thought of Fabianski, to be honest. And again, the sort of keeper that I think in my mind would probably be best for the number two. Maybe he does fit the bill with that Fabianski. You know, it might be quite an interesting option. Whether they look at it, we'll have to wait and see. And then one down the bottom there, Soccer Dude, interestingly enough, says, what about David De Gea? Seems wild that no one has picked him up. And now he's spent an entire season or more not playing. He would be eager to join a top club, even as backup. Yeah, I think David De Gea's problems with the ball at his feet. We talk about Szczesny potentially not being great with the ball at his feet. We saw everything about De Gea with the ball at his feet when he was at Manchester United. And, you know, we had the issue with Matt Turner when he was at Arsenal. David, he just can't play with the ball at his feet. He can't. We saw it. So I cannot see that being an option. And also, David De Gea's wages. I mean, he was on about 350 grand a week at Manchester United. I'm sure he'll have to take a lower wage than that now. But even so, you're not going to be paying your second choice goalkeeper that anything like that sort of money. So I can't see that being an option at all. Joe here says, hi, Charles. If I had the choice of a young, talented marquee signing who is a potential game changer, it would be Jamal Musiala. He is outstanding. He has the ability to take two, three players out of the game with his blistering pace and technical ability. No doubt he is one of the most exciting attacking players currently out there. But at just 21 years old, it is frightening the heights he could reach. No idea on his value, but I would imagine he would be very pricey. What's your thoughts? Yeah, he would definitely be very pricey. The only thing with Musiala is his contract is beginning to run out. I think he's going to have another year left on it at the end of this season. Bayern are obviously trying to get him tied down to a long-term deal. That hasn't happened yet. If it doesn't, I can see it might be a 1 year, it might be 2 years left. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on that. But whatever it is, Bayern are trying to get it sorted out. But other clubs will be watching, no doubt about it. And you can kind of feel like Musiala, if he doesn't sign, is going to end up being the next sort of Bellingham type signing, if you see what I mean. You know, every top club are going to want him. Everyone's going to probably inquire about him. It's like similar to Mbappe, I suppose, but there's probably only one or two who are going to be able to get him. You know, he's such a talent. Like you said, I would love him at Arsenal. It'd be fantastic. But I just wonder whether he would be able to Arsenal will be able to go near the sort of money that I imagine the other top clubs who would be in for him, if he became available, would be willing to pay. But yeah, in terms of him as a player, 100%, it'd be absolutely fantastic to bring him in. And finally here from Ollie says, hey, Charles, how do you think not winning the league might impact the team for next season? Any players you see might crumble under disappointment and might be looking to move on? No, I don't see it at all. Look, hopefully when this is going to prove what I'm going to say proves to not matter in the slightest, because Arsenal do win the league. But if they don't, which does look likely, I don't think it's going to impact them in any way. I just think it's going to make them even hungrier to come back next season and do it all over again. We've seen how hungry they've been this season. Ultimately, it might not be enough. And there's reasons for that in that first half of the season. Too many drop points, which you can look back on. But I think, and this is just me thinking, that first half of the season, Arsenal were adjusting to a new way of playing, new formation in a way, new players embedded in the team. And I think it just took them a while to get used to it. Now, I think they're 100% used to it. And I just hope that come the summer, and I think Arsenal will do plenty of business, as I said, but come the start of next season, I hope Mikel hasn't changed things so drastically that the players again have to adjust to a new way of thinking, a new way of playing. If they don't, and they can just hit the ground running and continue in the way they're playing at the moment, I think the sky's the limit for Arsenal next season. I really, really do. And I don't think any of these players will be over. They'll be disappointed, but I just think it's going to drive them on even more to have an even more successful season next season. But that is just my thoughts. All right, thank you for watching or listening. Everyone appreciates it. As always, I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. You want to get involved in that show, please do let me know in the comments below anything you want me to talk about in terms of the starting 11 for the game against Manchester United, who you think Mikel Arteta should go for, anything like that. Let me know in the comments below. Until then, have a fantastic start to the weekend, everyone. I'll speak to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.